Welcome to Notcast, episode 164, Q&A. I'm your host, Saverin Drake, and with me this week are...
Shiva.
Fuzzwolf.
Quit looking at pictures on DeviantArt. I know they are pretty.
Okay.
What picture are you going to show me?
What?
It's the evolution of Fluttershy.
Oh, as if she were a Pokemon.
Fluttershy, you stare.
Enemy Pokemon committed suicide. All right. Well, we're here. We're queer. Not a goddamn thing you can do about it. And it's another glorious week here in the magical land of Texas.
You had a great gay redneck accent there for a moment.
Damn right.
We're queer. Not a goddamn thing you can do about it.
You know, I have to say...
From the spittoon.
I've been talking to people from all over the net on Skype as of late.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, you have such a buttery voice. Oh, my God.
Buttery, huh?
Well, it's so smooth and...
Ooh, it smells just like Paula Dean's vagina.
Oh, God. Shiva just vomited.
What came out my nose?
As in, like, she just spewed cola out of her nose.
No, it's water. Oh,
water.
My God.
So that burns a lot less.
So you haven't seen that Twitter account, I guess.
No.
There's a Twitter account called Paula Dean's Vagina, which is pretty disgusting. Oh. I saw somebody retweet it, and I read a few of the tweets, and I was like...
That's terrifying.
I'm not going to follow that.
Record, yeah, that's
how you're supposed to neti pot. Oh.
Talking about fired butter from her vag across the room. And, you know, it's pretty horrible.
And now we have made we have made the rest of our listeners even gayer. Congratulations.
That's not possible.
So, yeah.
Can you imagine how delicious that would taste, though? I mean, no. If I went down on a girl's on a regular basis, if vag tasted like butter or bacon, that would be amazing.
But what happens when you try to take a bite?
I wouldn't try to take a bite.
Tastes like bacon, bacon, bacon! No.
Especially for the zoophiles, because dogs don't know it's not bacon.
Oh, dude, no. No, no.
Yeah, we're not gonna get to that.
No, we're not.
So, hey, how was y'all's week? Mine was great.
Until about 10 seconds ago.
Well, I mean, it's been an interesting week. We've been dealing with the politics of the convention type in other communities, and that's always interesting.
The Republican National Convention.
Shh. And
because you're going to Republicon and
yes,
see panels from your favorite Republicans.
Because I just don't hate myself enough.
You have to go take classes in it.
Apparently. And you know, other than that, you know, maybe some looming health problems on my family's side, but I really can't say anything about that yet because nobody knows. But other than that, my week's been pretty good.
And I don't remember if I did anything remarkable.
Yeah, face. That was like, wow, sudden darkness looming.
Well, it's...
But, you know, the doctor took a sonogram and saw some spots on my soul.
Yeah, that might be something a problem. Like that. Well, my mom already has a whole host of health issues, and this might just be one more, so...
Oh, okay.
But they don't know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
But she was. I'm very glad that she was up front with me about it, okay. Saying like, "Hey, went to the doctor's. This is going on." Well, thank you.
Okay.
So I'll keep y'all in the loop.
Yeah. We don't need any more parental health issues.
Just say no to cancer. Shit.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Fuck cancer. Moving on. How about you, Shiva?
Nothing too terribly. I mean, there's work and home and work, and that's... It's not been a terribly exciting week. I mean, there's lots of Furry Fiesta stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Soon.
Yes. All too soon. So, been really involved in ramping up for Con. Been fielding a lot of emails from people making sure that all their shit is ready to fly. Been talking to the guests of honor. Mm-hmm. Both of them are really nice to talk to.
Always a bonus.
Yeah. Mary Mouse, I don't know if you got to meet her year one. Very nice person, has been super helpful. She turned in the shirt design. It looks awesome.
I've heard it's very cool.
It looks very good.
Is it on the forums?
No.
Not yet.
Not even the super secret double for Illuminati forums?
No.
Aw.
Well, we got to finish getting it cleared up and make sure the printer can do it. But at least the initial design she turned in looks very doable. Of course, Corey Bing has been really reactive to do it. She's been happy to do anything for us. She's been super responsive.
Forgetting that Corey is a girl.
Yeah, Corey's a girl. And we have, once again, girl guest of honors. I know.
There's girls from the internet?
I know.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Other than that, the only thing exciting is, oh my god, tax return. Which... was less than what I was hoping for, but still enough. Big thing that we had going to do with it is anything left over for it after taking care of some other household things was we were going to pay off our 15-year anniversary shindig. We were going to take a cruise for 15 years. Well, they're not going to be gone 15 years, but, you know, it's our gift to each other. So never been on one. Looking forward to seeing the tropics.
Cool.
So that was the whole yay.
You will need your passports for that.
Oh, I know. Which means I have to find them or get them to reissue them.
Yeah, it only lasts 10 years, so.
I think mine's close to expiring.
Yeah.
But you know, we can either go to East Caribbean or West Caribbean. Don't know anything about either, so it's gonna be blind guess.
Gonna guess don't go to Haiti.
You'd Haiti it there.
I guess one's more long trips on the boat where you do so lots of trips. So if you like the gambling and all the fun stuff you do on the boat, you take that one. And the other side is lots of little island hopping. So if you want to see tropics, you go one. If you like the slow, sedate thing of on the boat, you go the other way.
Okay, my recommendation, based on what my sister told me, because she went on a cruise for her honeymoon, and she said they loved the being on the boat part, but... they were like, whenever they stopped on land, it was like, all the people there are like, it's like, oh, they're, you know, the tourist traps and everything. But like, people were like really rude to them and, or trying to like be kind of hucksters about them and stuff like that.
Yeah, I did have to work.
They were kind of like, we want to get back on the fucking boat, you know?
Yeah, I did have to.
Yeah.
All the food and non-alcoholic drink was covered as part of the ticket. And I'd given them, like, a gift... Tieran and I had given them, like, a gift certificate. So they just wanted to get on the boat, get drunk off their asses, and...
Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of like me and Siam's honeymoon. We've never taken a big trip together off somewhere outside of... together to be honeymoon-esque. So this is kind of, like... It's been 15 years.
Mm-hmm. I think it's time for one,
you know? Yeah. That was kind of it. So we've been paying it off a little bit all year long, and this is the last big push. So
that's pretty bitchin'.
So it's just been nickel and diming away, you know, 20 bucks a pay, just kind of picking at it. So this will be the 15 year, and that's kind of a big one, so
yeah,
we wanted to do it right.
I've started saving up for our house down payment.
That's good.
We have other savings too, but I've actually just started taking a good chunk out of every paycheck and putting it aside. So we're going to start seriously looking into that in the near future here.
Makes sense.
I mean, I just noticed that Panther has a movie that I enjoyed that I thought was really obscure and nobody else knew about.
Which one?
Final Cut.
I'm sorry, this is Panther. He has everything obscure.
Oh, no, it just popped out at me because it's a movie my mom had because there's an actor that she likes in it, but it was actually a pretty decent movie. I think I've got it on DVD now. So I haven't watched it in a while.
It jumped out.
Total sidetrack. I just happened to notice. I was like, wait a minute. I've never seen anyone else on that movie before. So my week, very busy week at work. They had overtime available. I didn't do any of it because I was sick last week, and it was kind of like, you're lucky I got through my 8-hour shift last Friday.
You're sounding a lot better.
Yeah, I don't know if listeners could tell that I was kind of blah last week. But
probably.
I've gotten over that quite a bit. But still slowly recovering and really busy week at work. At other work, I've been sending out orders like a motherfucker. We had like a bunch of orders going out. So Fur Planet remains busy. Keeping up with everything there. There's a lot of like end of year, beginning of year work to do and everything. So let me go ahead and throw this out there then. I think I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to keep mentioning it because I want people to show up. So February 11th to 12th, I don't think I gave the dates last time. February 11th to 12th here in the Dallas area is the Sci-Fi Expo. So, you know, just Google Sci-Fi Expo Dallas or go to furplanet.com. It's listed on our upcoming convention appearances right on the main page. But we'll have two tables there in the small press area. And we'll probably be going out and checking out the rest of the con and taking turns doing that while we're there. And hopefully drag a couple of friends out there with us. So that's not this weekend or next weekend, but the weekend after that. So that's, 3 weeks from now?
Yep.
So, yeah, for anybody that's in the area and wants to go to a sci-fi con, again, Eliza Dushku is the main guest and majority of the cast of Firefly.
I know, I'm looking for it. I'm going to seriously try to get out there that weekend because just a chance to meet any of those fangirl.
Yeah, maybe I should like bring my Serenity DVD or the Firefly box set.
That's a good idea. Bunch just of
people
in case.
Sign them. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. And of course, 2 weeks after Sci-Fi Expo's Furry Fiesta,
and, kind of a big deal,
and my birthday. So that's kind of cool. My birthday is a Saturday of Furry Fiesta.
Again, wasn't it Saturday last year?
Friday last year. Yeah. And I guess it won't be on Furry Fiesta. Well, it'll be like Monday next year because of the leap year.
Mm-hmm.
Pushes everything forward a couple of days. So I'm actually like quite looking forward to that, you know, because we're going to be having Khaki's going to be coming into town Wednesday night before the con and leaving the following Wednesday. So I'm taking a few days off after Fiesta to just kind of hang around with him, show him around town, talk about business stuff, you know, now that Fur Planet and Bad Dog Books are all one company, you know, take advantage of all being in one place for a change to actually chat about stuff. But I'm looking forward to that kind of extended break after the convention, too. Looking forward to having a good con. Should be fun. I think we're having a... We'll probably do a book release party on the Saturday. And I probably will do something for my birthday Saturday night.
That's cool.
So maybe just have a few people over into the suite that we're renting and, you know, just have fun.
I think Saturday night we've got our allotted our Notcast slot.
So those guys.
Yeah, those guys.
I couldn't remember if it was Friday or Saturday, but I think it is Saturday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Saturday.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You'll be having your birthday.
I think that happened last year, too. Like, my birthday party was right after the podcast, so it started kind of late. And then I remember collapsing kind of early because people plied me with alcohol.
Well, yeah, you walked into the room and people were like, drink, drink, drink.
Yeah, yeah. And then Rahata was like, bottle.
Mudslide.
No, it wasn't mudslide. It was that really delicious liqueur that he bought
me. Oh, that's right. I thought he had both. He had the Vic cooler.
He probably had the mudslide at the show. But he had bought me a, I keep forgetting the name of it, but it was this, I've still got some of it. It's a purple.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's this really delicious, like, fruity liqueur. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was fun. So we'll probably do that again. So that's kind of what's on my mind lately. It's like really busy at the day job, doing some of the more businessy accounting, taxi type stuff for Planet. And still trying to, Tiernan and I have started date night again, which is, this may seem silly that it's like we have to set aside time to spend together, even though we live together, because you just get so busy doing shit all the time that it's like, right, this night of the week is, and this is, and I'm talking about this because I think this ties into the relationship advice.
Yes.
That couple, long-term relationship, living together, you really need to set aside couples time. And sometimes when you're a busy working adult and you've got a lot of shit going on, you need to actually schedule that and be like, this is our time when we're going to go out to dinner somewhere, you know, or and then watch TV together. Like last week, we went to Maggiano's, which is a really nice Italian restaurant. Came home, watched Sherlock, and that was a nice night.
That's kind of what Tuesdays and Thursdays are for me and Siam. Is mm-hmm. That's kind of, I know you have Tuesday, but it's kind of the night that's worked out to being, that's the night that we come home, we watch TV, and we don't go very far. Mm-hmm. So that's just how it's worked out. We haven't had to schedule it, but it's been come a pretty steady pattern of just that night. We sit down, we watch TV, we hang out, whether we play a game together or we watch TV or we go out to the movies, that's kind of been our time.
Yeah.
So it's important.
So we've been doing that. I've been making more of an effort to schedule me time as well, where mm-hmm. I just kind of sit and relax and read with a cup of tea or something like that, where I don't get near a computer or a backlit screen, you know, and I don't watch TV, and I just kind of, I need more winding down time, you know, so I'm kind of trying to get some of my sanity back.
Getting away some of the social media and just...
Social media? Yeah. Getting away from that? But I have to check Twitter every 10 seconds. Well,
I think I have a little problem with that, where like I need to disconnect more fully. So I'll leave my phone in the bedroom on the charger, keep my iPad out of arm's reach, sit on the couch. Now I'm reading on my Kindle, but I don't do the, you know, you could use the web browser, but it really sucks. Because the whole point of the Kindle is just to read a fucking book. And that's what I like about reading the book on the Kindle, especially since at night the screen's not backlit. It's the e-ink, mm-hmm. so it doesn't keep my eyes awake, and I'm able to get to sleep a little easier. And it's something I'm trying to do more, is just kind of relax. You know, because I've been really stressed for a long time. And
I really find reading is just a good way to just decompress.
It was either this or start smoking a lot of weed. And as fun as that might be, I didn't want to start going down that path.
Yeah.
You know, because I could totally see myself taking that too far if I ever started doing that. You know, and I'm not Kevin Smith rich. I can't be a professional pot smoker and podcaster. So, what else going on?
I don't know, Will. We've been talking for 20 minutes. So I usually do this. Hey, so we could probably do an email.
Concept.
We are a podcast. I suppose we should read an email or two.
It's kind of format.
How this one runs.
We should do it like Dotcast presents No Email Week. And we just
talk
about nothing.
Okay, what we do?
It'd be like the Seinfeld episode of Notcast. It's not about anything.
We will start it out with our guests, you know, and ask them, you know, who their favorite furry is and why, and their favorite furry thing, and then we can go into the furry.
About your involvement with the furry fandom.
We can talk about the furry news, and then furry fanfics, and then talk about the latest episode of Furry Drama.
I was going to say, then we start getting into the gossip.
Then we get into the gossip and the banter, and then the one awful thing you found this week.
We're just going to read posts from Furry Drama and Artist Beware. And
in silly voices.
I commissioned this person, and they never finished my work.
In a world where furry artists say they'll draw something, but then they don't. There's furry drama.
No. We would have to make it really, really lame. It would be like, in a world where an artist didn't get the extremely detailed tattoos and markings of my character exactly right, and forgot that one eye is a different color or the other, and I'm a normal wolf, except I have four bat wings.
Goodness.
And a dragon dick.
And there's some furry out there going, what the fuck?
Why are they talking about my character?
And a vagina.
Let's not get too crazy now.
On my forehead. Because my favorite kink is skull fucking.
Is that the reverse unicorn?
It's an innie. Yeah. I'm a unicorn, but my horn's on the inside. See the slit?
Oh, God.
Hi, Severin.
So he bad. Gave me his magical unicorn mayonnaise, which is what I used to make these sandwiches.
We got the sign.
Rub the horn, Timmy, faster.
Oh. At some point, he'll stop us.
Yeah, you know, just keep going. It's okay. People
He's
like
knitting
this stuff
a rope for us. Yeah, but you don't. Yeah, it's okay. Keep going. Listeners, write this stuff. You're slowly carving our names into your arm.
I have this little thing over here that has little needles sticking out of it that I might just...
It's a mace.
That thing is, like, so fucking dangerous.
It really is. And that's why it sits in the back of my... My backup drive.
So good of your friend to be like, hey, I made you this Christmas present full of nails.
Well, you know, the whole thing is like, if a crazy burglar kicks in your door, what do you have to defend yourself with? A tiny clay cactus with needles. He ain't having eyes after I'm done.
So he gave you a self-defense.
Yes, totally. That masquerades as a cactus.
Well, that goes very well with the rape whistle that I got him.
Yeah. Oh. That's what they call it. So, hey, I'm going to read an email.
Okay.
And stop fuzz.
Wait. Is there going to be justice meted? No. Something's going down. A wild panther has appeared.
Oh. It's an actual rape whistle.
It's a rape whistle.
Or is it a rape kazoo?
Somebody help me! God. That's awful.
I don't think that would... You know what would be worse? Well.
What? No. Rape vuvuzela?
I don't know.
Yeah, rape vuvuzela. I can't even say the fucking word.
Wow, I wonder how long that goes on for. It's digital, but the button just keeps going.
At least with one of those, you can beat them off until the plastic shatters. Then you can just poke them with the shards.
Savern's theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kitty Sacks.
What are we looking at now?
The whistle actually is.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's a nautical whistle. It's still a whistle, and it probably would be effective if you were being raped.
Yes.
I think Saverin was going to read an email before we started joking about raping him.
Okay. Because last week we went through the emails and we had some leftovers. So this one's actually from during our hiatus. Hopefully, I really hope that this is not too late, that our reply has not gotten to you too late for this situation. We were kind of off in the ether for a while.
Okay, what's the subject?
Urgent help for a friend. You can read this on air if you want, but at first I'm going to answer. I think I answered it. I don't know. Dear Notcast, one of my friends is really driving me insane. He's in less than optimal situation for several years now. He had originally attended a rather nice out-of-state university, but had to drop out when depression issues caused him to literally fail all his classes for a semester, leaving him with a good pile of debt and nowhere to go back to his parents' house, which, as far as I can tell, are making him pay off the huge debt alone on his grocery store bagger job. He's attending school again and apparently majoring in two different areas, but he has no idea what to do with his education. He insists that it's impossible for him to find a job after graduation, and when I make the suggestion of looking out of state and moving when he finds something, he instantly writes it off as impossible and doesn't even entertain the idea of trying. In fact, that's been the major problem with him for a long while now. He always complains how miserable he is, but whenever I try to give him advice, he instantly shoots it down without even trying. I tell him to write into you guys, and he'd never ask a podcast for advice because, quote, they won't know anything about my list situation that I forget to mention. They won't share my personal values. They won't have anything on the line if they just give me advice to try to sound noble. Okay. I try to get him to see a therapist. He says all the therapists he's tried in the past have been basically quacks his parents have gotten for him that he won't attempt to find one himself. I tell him to quit school and work more to pay off debt so he doesn't add even more to them. And he says that's suicide, even though he apparently has no plans to attempt to do anything with the degrees he is getting. I tell him to get out of his oppressive parents' house and go live with his online boyfriend in Arizona so he can be with someone who actually cares about him. And he says that's also suicide because apparently if he loses the job he has now, he'll never find one again for the rest of his life. It's gotten to the point where talking to him leads to nothing but frustration. I've known him for several years, and he's a really sweet guy when he's not in these moods. But his life is heading towards a dead end that brings him nothing but misery, and though he admits that, he apparently has no desire to change it. His boyfriend, another close friend of mine, shares these concerns and is probably even more worried about him than I am. How can I help someone who refuses to help themselves? He lives several states away. There's not much I can do for him other than talk and give advice, which he quickly discards. The biggest problem is that he said he's thought about suicide before, and I'm afraid to say that I wouldn't put it past him. I could really use some sort of advice regarding the situation. Anything you could suggest would be a great help. Thanks for your time, Anonymous. Sounds like kind of a sad sack, no hoper.
He might suffer from depression, though, which would explain that.
But it's like...
He's pretty much outright said that the guy does, so...
Yeah. But he won't listen to your advice, as from a well-meaning friend. Isn't interested in our advice. Won't see a therapist. Won't get some help. Has no goals.
Won't move out of the situation.
No, so it's like the guy just likes to complain about his shitty situation and won't do anything to change it.
Yeah,
you can't help anybody like that. I don't think. Short of kidnapping him and, you know, you're going to get a new job elsewhere and, you know, put him on a train to, you know, the moon. But
I've known people like this, and you can only give advice so much. You can't actually sit there and make somebody take it. They're just...
You can't shove your opinions down their throat to the point of them listening.
Yeah.
The only other option I can think of is if you think his life is really in danger from his depression, then you need to basically force him to an emergency room and have him evaluated. Because I've known people in that situation before, you know, and it's not pleasant, but they don't want to do it, you know.
Well, the thing is, they're long distance. This is not even a local friend.
Isn't it a local friend to the email writer and a long distance to the boyfriend?
No.
Oh.
It says...
He says he's just a friend.
He said something about being several states away.
Oh, okay.
And then his boyfriend's in Arizona, so it's like... Somebody in, I don't know, Kansas and their boyfriend in Arizona when the guy in question's in, like, Pennsylvania.
The most I could say is if you know anything about his real life address or anything else, and he does sound like he's actually going to do it one night, you can call the cops in that local area, and you can report him, and they will come. And, you know, there's crisis hotlines for things like that. Usually you have to find the local police department, call them. Sometimes you could call 911 and they'll relay, but you have to know kind of where your friend is and, like, real name and address.
Right. And, you know, you're in a real limited situation here. I mean, I know it, you know, I know it seems really dire, but there's only so much you can do, you know. He has somebody in his life that, you know, should be worried about this. His boyfriend, his parents, you know, and you have to be willing to help yourself to a degree as well. And it doesn't really sound like he's willing to do that, which could be the depression talking. And if that's the case, then he definitely needs to get some help for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and all all I can say is the same advice that you've given him. Go pick out a therapist of your own and see them if you don't like the one his parents are sending him to. But
the only one who could come close to forcing him is his parents, and that could be if he is that depressed, if he is a danger, and that's getting him actually committed so he gets treatment. But to an extent, if he's a majority, I think if he's not a danger to himself or others, they can't really force him to do anything either. But they're the closest that can come toward making him do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like you've given him good advice, and if he won't take it, well, he won't take it.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is an unfortunate email where it's like, you can try and try and try, but you can't. You can lead a horse to water, can't make him drink. Insert platitudes here.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing what you can, but he's not going to do it, and your state's away.
You did as much as you could.
Sucks.
Yep.
Let's see.
Next.
I'm just reading real quick. Let's see.
Read faster.
Fun levels are at zero.
Oh, shush. Riedemann and my horrible story. I'm pretty sure that this is a spoof, but it's fun nevertheless. Howdy, Foxy Stuffers and Tide Foxes. I have some input on about something about your 87th episode, Nerd Love, that I just had to write in about. It's the Riedemann's dirty tail thing.
Renamon.
Guys, you gotta read it right.
I'm sorry, I'm just like, we're going, I'm only correcting you, even though I don't watch Digimon. Because I know we're going to get angry emails about, no, you pronounced it wrong.
I've only seen it written. I've never actually watched Digimon.
Well, I know enough nerds. It's Renamon, apparently.
Whatever.
And apparently she's filthy.
Wow, this particular email.
Yeah, I know.
But it's also about episode 87, which was like at least 100 years ago. So
I know, but give it time.
Okay, alright.
When you mentioned I just had to watch it, so I plugged into YouTube, and lo and behold, see what I did there? I fucking loved the ever-loving shit out of that video. I had a good laugh, and half of with that shit, and I don't get why people get so worked up at what's clearly satire. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, seriously, something that fucked up and awful can't be anything serious, just like an epic movie. This isn't going to be a wall, hopefully, but I also have a horror story to share with you all. I'm 18 years old, living with my parents in Hallsville, Texas.
This is a cool story, bro, moment.
That's between Longville View and Marshall. I'm going to college in Marshall. If that means anything to you, I'm out to my parents as a furry and as a bisexual, and most of the time they don't seem to care, or at least are indifferent or ignoring it. But there's a few times when they grab me, strap me to their bed, and have a priest whip me and throw holy water on me. Though I'm sure it's rubbing alcohol. I have no experience with other families, so I just want to know, is this normal? They say they love me.
For Texas, yes.
They say they love me, and most of the time they act like it, too. My friend once told me this is what's called an exorcism, but they wouldn't tell me anything else. What's an exorcism? You're an anonymous male panther.
The story, post the previous story, is And information here was an artistic work of fiction and falsehood. Only a fool would take anything said there as fact.
Mommy, what's an exorcism?
See, what happens is the priest is trying to whip the evil out of your backside. When you poop, that's the evil coming out.
Whip them! Whip the piss out of them!
We get some weird emails from time to time.
Okay, do you have, is there, God, this is, am I still sounding okay? Because this microphone is creeping ever slowly.
It's trying to give you microphone head.
Apparently.
You sound fine, just readjust the microphone
or
a little.
Or slouch more.
Well, I don't want to have to.
He's going
to
be all like laying on his back on the couch.
Wait until the microphone starts to
into
fall asleep.
A sound. Sleep. well. Yeah, this one, next one.
Whoa.
Dealing with the devil alcohol.
Well, I guess I have to read this one now that you...
Well, it's in the queue somewhere.
It's the next one.
It's just an interesting topic title.
Okay. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm very throaty tonight. It's the end of the cough, I guess, or cold, I guess. Good evening, casters. I come to you in hopes of a few opinions, if not an answer. I'm not going to read this whole email that way, because I just realized how long it is. To properly set the scene, let me assert a few facts. First, I don't drink. Never have. It's not some moral crusade or medical issue. It's just something that, for a myriad of reasons, I've never chosen to personally partake of. Second, my husband does. Though only infrequently and rarely to excess. The heroin he shoots into his eyeballs is much more of a problem. I'll stop ad-libbing. I'm talking about a glass of wine with dinner or a few pints of lager at the Furbeats. He drinks significantly less than most of my other friends, and normally this suits me just fine. Recently, we attended a Christmas gathering, and he chose to get tipsy enough to enjoy the dance. He's a friendly social drunk, but I went about my normal meet chatting and enjoying the company of my fellow friendly fur fags. By the time the meet was starting to close, though, he was having trouble walking and had fallen asleep at one of the tables outside, which promptly got the two of us ejected from the party. It was a little irresponsible, perhaps, but given the wide range of possible reprehensible drunk behavior, fairly benign. I've seen friends do a hell of a lot worse, and I still consider them my friends. I wouldn't dream of turning my back on them just because of a night of partying at Christmas. But here's the glitch. It bothered me. More than I'll ever let my other half know, unless he happens to listen to the show. It really bothered me. I'm a worrier, and I fret. Just watching him stumble and weave and holding his arm to steady him on the way home, he was in no shape to drive. I stole his keys from his pocket, made me worry to the point of feeling sick. This wasn't the first time I'd had this spat of irrational fear, either. When I know he's been drinking to get drunk, all of my enjoyment for the evening suddenly stops. All I can think of is worrying about him. Mm-hmm. I know this is my hang-up, not his. I don't discuss it with him because I know he cares about what I think. It would ruin his enjoyment of drinking at parties and at cons, and I refuse to do that to him. It's not an overall problem, either. We both have sports and activities that are much more likely to injure us than some recreational drinking in the company of friends. But specifically, this causes real palpable alarm for me. Is there anything you can suggest? I refuse to ask him to stop drinking, since he usually does so responsibly. I refuse to be one of those cunts that can't keep their beliefs and choices to themselves. How can I get back to enjoying myself without being the asshole that ruins his night? Candrel.
This is a very good question.
This, the way this email ends, though, does kind of bother me, because it's like, give me your advice. Here's all the things that I absolutely refuse to do. Like, he already knows what we're going to say and is...
cutting it off.
Is cutting off the potential solution here.
Which is usually talk to your mate.
Yes, because in my opinion, this is something that you should talk to him about. Because, I mean, I'm not a big party guy. And I'm fine with, like, a social drink now and then. But... when friends get to the point of stumbling around stupid, retarded, drunk, there's no enjoyment in that for me. That's the point where I'm like, okay, I'm not having fun anymore,
and I'm going home now because I don't want to see that. You know, I don't want to be around that kind of behavior. I don't do that wild, crazy party shit at cons either. And, you know, you sound like you have a similar kind of reaction to seeing that sort of behavior, and especially seeing that from someone that you deeply care about would be very disturbing. You know, Tyrion drinks socially, but he doesn't get that retarded drunk. And if he did to the point where he was being really fucked up, that would really bother me. I wouldn't say tell him you can never drink again. I don't think that's called for, since the drinking to excess is a rarity as opposed to every time he drinks. Mm-hmm. But I would suggest having a talk with him, or hitting a point where you subtly try to cut him off on nights when he's
getting a little bit too much.
Yeah.
The other thing is, the reader comments that he does so responsibly. So I don't. He, and it made it sound like in the email that this is the first time he's gotten this bad to where he like napped out on the deck or the outside. He said,
"Sorry, are you fixing the mic?" Okay.
So
dolphins.
Yes.
It's basically okay. You say you worry. What are you worrying about? What are the thoughts that's going through your mind that you are specifically having anxiety about when he's drunk? I mean, are you worried he's going to fall down? Are you worried he's going to put advances on someone he shouldn't? Are you, you know, what transgressions or actions are you actually worrying about? Because usually when you're drunk, you're worrying about what they're going to do or what's going to happen to them. It sounds like you're not particularly worried he's going to drive, because he's indicate he's usually responsible about this, but I guess it's going to be, what are you thinking about, and weigh them. Are they actually realistic fears, or are you having and what amounts to an anxiety attack, which point you start dealing with it with any other source of anxieties? And there's all kinds of methods for dealing with those, from thinking them through and everything else. And I admit, my ex got wound up when I had a beer. You know, just not even tipsy, not nothing. Just when I had a beer, he would get wound up. And, you know, and it really bothered him to have me see have any alcohol. He was pretty much a teetotaler himself. But he got upset when I drank. And then later on, he discovered drinking, and it was all okay. But it, like many other things, he had to kind of set the rules. And I don't know if he was afraid of what alcohol did because he'd never really partaken or what. But it, I kind of know what it's like to be on a recipient of someone with a little bit more wound up than they should be about something. So I do agree that maybe sitting back and considering it and trying to put a meter on what you're scared of, is this a rational fear, is a good way to start this. I do think that watching him get dead drunk is annoying as fuck. But it depends on where your worry starts and when it really starts to ramp up. So.
Yeah, I think this is an issue where you think you know that he's not going to listen, but you might as well get your fears out there. As Shiva said, you might need to weigh your concerns, but letting your partner know that he's not real keen on him getting drunk will open a dialogue between the two of you. Because the real thing needs to be you two discussing it rather than asking, well, us what to do. Because what you need to do is talk to him. You know, I don't drink, and I don't get the falling down. Well, I don't drink to excess. I drink socially, rarely, at cons usually, but never like my own cons. And
yeah, it's not good to be a drunk staffer. That's a bad idea. No.
And you know, there have been times where like other times I have gotten a little more toasted than I ought to, and then, but I'm also able to be like, I know when to stop. But I'm fairly sure that sometimes I've also concerned Panther. But I also trust that if I do, to like a great degree, he'll be like, you need to, you know, not do this.
He doesn't usually hesitate to tell you to stop.
Yes. And that's what your spouse is for. To, well, one of the many things that your spouse should do for each other is being able to say, honey, you should probably stop now.
You're kind of obnoxious. Stop.
Or, you know, whatever, you know, that's the role of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have for that one.
Okay.
So your turn now.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Relationship help. This is another of our longer, well, this was sent a while back. Hopefully hasn't blown up in the meantime. That's the problem with hiatuses.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with my boyfriend of a little over a year now, and we've known each other for about 3. I am not sure how to begin this, so I'll just go ahead and say what's on my mind. I wanted this relationship and had a crush on him for long before he was interested in me in a romantic way. We've had our ups and downs like any normal couple. Mostly it's over the fact that he likes to go around having sex with anyone that is remotely interested in him. He told me at the start he wanted an open relationship. I was a bit concerned about it at first, but agreed to it in the end. He said it would be a very rare thing, and he would always tell me. Well, I thought things were going fine until I found out he is not telling me the truth. He's been sleeping around with other guys, doing sexual RPs, telling others he was single and interested in them, lying about going to work or see his family when he's going to visit a fuck buddy, etc. This has been going on for less than a week after we started to date. While I did not know of any of this going on, he was interested in sex, he would tell me sorry he was not in the mood, and he still does this to this day. He was too busy fucking around with others or jerking off to porn to spend any time with me. He always has an excuse as to why we can't have sex, or when we do, he uses me to get himself off and tells me if I want to get off to go jerk off. After I found out about all this and confronted him, he got mad at me for snooping into his personal life and that it was not my place. When I asked why he did this, he told me, you should look out for number one yourself. So, dump the motherfucker and get the fuck out. Continuing on. After a week of pretty much ignoring, avoiding, packing to move back home, he pleaded with me in tears, telling me to not go. He was just sorry that everyone he'd ever dated has hurt him and thought I was different. I gave into the tears because I hate to see someone crying. He's used my weak feelings to manipulate me. Things went fine for a while before he started to back up again, and I confronted him with maybe we should not have dated at all, and maybe we were not right for each other. He broke down again, and things were fine for a while until he was back to his old tricks.
I'm sorry. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice.
Fool me 3 times. What the fuck's going on here, son? Yeah.
Fool me. Can't get fooled again.
And it's not just the way he messes around with others and ignores me completely, how he treats me. Shortly after we started the date, moved in together. Ever since we've been together, I've felt more like a maid than a boyfriend. I spend my time cleaning up after him, bringing him whatever he wants so that he does not have to quit playing video games or get off the computer. I've played his maid so much that when I was horribly sick with a huge fever and could not move out of bed or I would faint, I'd plead for him to bring me some water and he would tell me he was busy with his game and I could go get it and start dinner. On any kind of special occasion, he ignores me to do what he wants and does nothing with me. Whenever I decide to leave, he starts to get all mushy, telling me how much I mean to him and how much he loves me more than I can know, and he's just not good at showing it. After a week of this, Phil and I have more been too hasty and we settle down for a bit before it happens again. It's been a while now since he's done anything like this. He's actually been pretty kind and caring. I feel bad for saying this, but I feel like I don't love him anymore as such. I think I kind of love him, but at the same time, I remember all he's done to me, and I start to hate him. I don't know if it's just a phase of immaturity he's going through or what. I can't just help feel things might be over with. This longest relationship I've had with my first boyfriend was killed in Iraq several years ago. Did not date for many years, but started back 2 years ago. I've had a long string of short, horrible relationships that were similar to this one, where they broke off. Part of me feels like I can't do any better, and I should stick with it since it's this or be alone. Kind of feel stupid after reading this and seeing how dumb I've been. I'm so reluctant to make the final break for fear of being alone or being seen as a bad person for hurting him. Any help or advice would be greatly appreciated. Confused in Dallas. Holy fuck.
Dude, I need to take you out and get a drink because this sucks.
Aight, son. You done goofed. You need to get out of there.
That's not...
Now. Now, this was a month ago, and I hope that this kind of shit hasn't been happening again, but, oh, dude, seriously, dump this fucker, dump him hard, take your shit, empty his bank accounts, change your name, and fly to Mexico. I don't know.
There are things that are worse than being alone. This is...
I mean, this dude's fucking around on you, and
a man,
who knows what he's caught by now, if he is.
He doesn't take care of you when he's sick. He doesn't do special things with you when it's special occasions. Really, everything you said in this email, I haven't really seen any much positive to this guy.
I haven't seen anything positive. Well, he says
he gets mushy, and then it's okay for a little while. But then it's just, there's nothing positive in this entire email to speak of why you are still here, besides not being alone.
The whole he gets mushy thing sounds to me more like a play he puts on for your benefit when he thinks you might be getting cold feet or something, just to kind of settle you down.
This is a cycle that you see in abusive relationships when, whether a guy is hitting the girl or, and then, oh no, I'll never do it again. And you got the honeymoon period where things get up, and then he turns around and he belts her again. And then, oh, honey, don't call the police. I'm sorry, I'll never hit you again until the next time. You know, it's a classic cycle of abuse. They square up just enough to make you question your thoughts of leaving, and then once they've got you there, they slip back into their old bad shit again. Yeah, this is classic abuse.
I'm basically just going to third what the others are saying. I think you need to leave, and... just in a more general sense, I know that I understand the fear of leaving something good. I mean, well, not good, but leaving something you're certain of right now. You know, whether it is a relationship or a job or anything else, for fear that you'll never find that kind of stability again. But, I mean, the truth is, I mean... Life can be pretty long. And first of all, you have, you know, the whole thing, you have to love yourself first. There's nothing wrong with being alone. And I know our society makes that seem like such a horrible thing to be single when you're a little older. And, the whole internet forever alone meme doesn't really help with that. But the truth is, I mean, you can be perfectly fine on your own, you know, as a single person. You know, you can have friends, you can, you know, if you see value in yourself, you know, it is perfectly fine to not always have a mate. And, you know, if you do break up with this guy, I wouldn't immediately go out on a manhunt and find another partner immediately. Just spend some time by yourself, you know, and kind of evaluate shit. But I think it's a lot healthier for you in the long run. You look the rest of your life, the next 40, 60, 80, well, not 80 years, but you know, however long you might have, it's like, do you really want to put up with this and this feeling of not having this trust and having these doubts and these anger issues over everything he's done in the past, you know, for the rest of your life? Or you can dump him, spend some time alone, and then maybe, you know, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, whenever, you know, you'll find someone else that is infinitely better for you than this guy is, rather than just staying with this fucker for the next decade.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. And you recognize that it's a bad situation. And you just have to have the moment of moral clarity to pack your shit and go stay at your friend's and then move out, because this ain't no good.
And it's... some of this is really bugging me. Like... okay, you know, we get emails where like, oh, my boyfriend cheated on me. And, you know, there's different levels of this, I guess. We're like, you can talk to him, you can work this out, you can get over it. couples have arguments, couples have disagreements. Sometimes couples fuck each other over, you know, and they have to have a deep talk about that. And there's some discomfort for a while, and it takes a little while for everyone to be cool again. But if people are actively working to salvage the relationship, then they do eventually get over those issues and move on. But as I'm looking at this, I'm like, you know, if Tieran and I had a major, major disagreement and we were just in a knockdown drag out, I don't think I'd still be at the point where if he was horribly sick in bed and begging me to bring him a glass of water, that I'd just be like, no, I'm busy. You know, there's a... It's not just that he's cheated or that he's made a couple mistakes. There's a real sense of callous disregard for you as a person in this, in the pattern of his actions here. That, I don't know. I mean, unless you've left out some major thing about him being awesome, I'm really not seeing anything redeemable in this guy's character. So, my opinion, sorry it's a little harsh, but from the wording of your email, I get the feeling that you know what you have to do. You just needed to hear it from somebody else.
I think you had a good point.
So, whose turn is it now?
That would be Shiva.
Okay.
And then we will have a break.
Don't bother with this next one. It just seems to kind of go nowhere.
Yeah, I already passed it. Let's see. One from Sandfire. Yes, parents are jerks. Get over it.
That was the one I was talking about.
No. No, I think this has got a good one to touch on.
Yeah, this is a short one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
Your friendly neighborhood Rainbow Dash fan... Wait, wrong podcast. Your friendly Alaska Snow Leopard here. I'm writing to ask how to get parents to question. I have Tourette's. No, not the swearing kind. That's called, I don't...
Caporalalala.
Yeah, that's the fun kind.
Figures that would give you the one with the hard-to-pronounce word, Shiva.
Yes. Tourette's, OCD, and ADHD. My parents get the Tourette's and ADHD, but they have a hard time understanding a purely mental thing like this OCD. With Tourette's and ADHD, you can see the connection between the brain and the body, but that's not so for OCD. Do you have any ideas on how I might be able to explain OCD? I know none of you all have OCD, but you have several years of helping others, so you might just know something. Thanks for your help. 20% cooler in Alaska, Sandfire, a.k.a. Orange Brave.
Okay.
So, explaining OCD to parents. There's several websites out there, I know I've read some of them, that's basically taken from the stance of... you have OCD and getting others to be able to understand it. I also know that there's some treatments for OCD, and I don't know how many of them you've looked into to help get a cover it, but there's many of them out there that will explain that it is a mental condition. There's pamphlets that you can get. There's books you can get. I've seen some of the ones on Amazon, like Living with OCD, you know, where it's directed at spouses, siblings, parents, on understanding this person and what's going on inside their head.
And, I mean, there's even on PubMed, which I'm just looking at it, and it's like, it's even OCD is actually connected to some, to Tourette's in some regards, so.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It says about 20% of people with OCD have tics, which suggests the condition may be related to Tourette's. However, this link is not clear. I was like, well, you know, I mentioned it. I mean, it's just... I think Shiva has the right idea with the book idea.
Yeah.
Trying to kind of explain it to them.
Or maybe there's a pamphlet or something that could do it in an abbreviated form.
Right. Because, I mean... yeah, there's, like, drugs that can do this, but...
a lot of them don't have a lot of pleasant side effects that can make you feel stupid.
Yeah.
Or other stuff. But I've also known a couple of people who do have OCD to have found other ways around their particular compulsions. They often can give into them when they're stressed or upset. But for the most time, that they can also find ways around some of the more serious. It all depends on what your particular OCD thing is.
So, weirdly, I had like a weird mild case of OCD when I was a teenager that I never told anybody about at the time. And I didn't really know what it was until like years later. But I just kind of, I don't know, I recognized that this was a problem, that I was doing something stupid that I that clearly wasn't normal, quote unquote. And I just kind of told myself I'm not going to do that anymore and just stop the habit. Oh. And I don't know. I don't even know where it came from or if it was just a nervous thing or.
Well, for example, he's wrong. What I have an OCD complex. I have a really bad habit of when I was younger, fingernails, really, really bad. And to this day, I have a, I'm trying to remember the actual name of it. It's a skin picking. It's where you, the cuticles around your nails and such, and you're constantly fiddling with it.
Yeah.
Well, I've had to train myself to not do it as much because I was actually damaging my fingertips, and I've found ways like clean your fingernails, don't pick at them. If you don't damage the skin, get some kind of product and use that, rub it on your nails as opposed to messing with it. But no, it's something I've had since I was little, and I've had to go and get training to change the behavior around it. I still do it. I can't help it, but I've managed to stop hurting myself.
Yeah, I bite my nails too, so I mean, I know that feel, and it drives Panther nuts sometimes, and it's this is straight up anxiety thing. I'm anxious, I bite my nails.
Yeah, that's just it. I get anxious and bored, both of those things, and that triggers episodes, especially anxiety.
And yeah, definitely, it's an anxiety thing, and I have horrible nails, and I've like probably fucked up my fingertips.
Oh, so. I know I fucked up fingertips.
Everybody has their quirks. This is not really out there, but yeah, I totally bite my nails and they're awful and gross.
But it's that's what I'm saying is you can do things to mitigate the behavior and to try to make it less damaging. It does take a lot of retraining to do and to focus that energy where you want to do something and to slightly divert it to something else and then divert it again. So I went from biting my nails to trying to care for them better and focus my energy that way. And that's just one of the tricks. So.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play some music and we will be back. We'll be right back. And we're back. That was A Daring Escape by Yago. Again, from Badass Boss Themes, from ocremix.org. And once again, we also had a delicious cheese snack during the break, provided by the Wolfie Man. Thank you, Wolfie Man. We still have one more week of cheese left. Yay!
So cheesy.
And Shiva will tell us about our item from adamandeve.com for the week.
Yes, this week's horrible selection is Batman Triple X out of Adam and Eve's parody porn collection. Let's see, it's got Holy Sex Batman wearing a porno movie. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's the old Adam West Batman style. Really just, it's as horrible as you can imagine.
I wonder if they've got, like, where if it says SPORT! Thrust! And it's got the animated letters. Oh,
they better do that because that would be awesome.
Orgasm. Fist.
But, it's got an old Adam West style Batman, a blonde Batgirl, and a Robin. I don't know if there's Batman-Robin sex. It's probably not. It's not on the gay site. But I wonder if they have one for gay. It's 120 minutes. There's 5 sex scenes.
There's 1 anal sex scene and 2 group sex scenes.
Woohoo! Let's see, you got
Severin, old chum, suck my cock!
Let's see, you got Riddler banging Bruce's girlfriend.
Oh, that's not a good way to get on Batman's good side.
Riddler's henchwoman as to snare Batman. Let's see, you got Joker has 2 minions sucking him off.
Before falling dick first into her tight ass.
Spying on the Joker's three-way leaves Robin eager to show Batgirl why they call him the Boy Wonder. Oh, God. Scene 5. Holy threesome Batman. Everyone's favorite crime-fighting duo peels off Catwoman's skin-tight costume. And they go at it. So, yeah, they just fanboy everybody's...
You can't...
I don't know how many fanboys thought of Robin and Batman doing Catwoman, but... Yeah.
They can't not read the line about she laps up Batman's bat cock.
It was just getting too horrible. Yeah, let's see... A purring Catwoman spreads her legs wide for balls deep spooning with Batman while stroking Robin until...
It's not spooning at all.
No, it's not. That's a slightly definition of spooning than I know of. So, yes, shower the favorite kitty with some tasty cream for her to lick up. Ugh.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I like they include a bonus version that's the non-sex version of the movie. Which is probably really funny.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that we should order this.
Oh, okay. God. And
watch it some night.
Let's see.
Oh, this could be like, we could do this as the non-sex version. We could do it as a shadow cast at furry fest.
Oh, God.
What a terrible idea.
I'm full of them.
Yes, you are. So the price on the website is $27.95, but with our coupon code NOT, K-N-O-T, you can get half off, free shipping, 3 more DVDs, and a mystery gift, plus free shipping within the continental U.S.
Loads of porn.
So you can get lots and lots of wank material for cheap. Yay!
Yay!
Oh, holy shit.
What?
Hang on. It's 20. Okay, no, that is 50%. I was like, no, it's just like it gets really cheap with the coupon code.
It's like less than $15 for.
Yeah, it's regularly $27.95, and with the coupon code, it makes it $13.98.
Plus 3 more DVDs. You know.
Yeah.
You don't get to choose them if they're a complete and utter random choice. You might get. I don't know, something horrible. I don't know what's worse than this, but you know. So yeah, okay. That's our porn slinging for the week.
Porn.
Porn. Okay. I read last, so Fuzz's turn.
Yep.
Is it?
You get to read about
stuff. Because we're probably not going to get through.
Nope. I'm probably going to read about 3 or 4 more emails at this point. Do another round each. Because it's already 11:42 p.m. in Central Standard Time.
Okay.
We're doing this late on Friday.
All right. I'm going to read enough
for Friday night. What are you doing?
Friday night fuckfest. Okay. I guess not.
No.
So if you ever wondered if the Notcast, no, not at all.
No. I'm going to read this email here that is an update from someone we've heard about a lot in the past. Are ready for my bedtime.
Snarf, snarf.
Hi, Notcast. Okay. Hello again. Hi, Notcast. Hope you remember me. It's Nightwolf again. In case you don't, a while back I emailed you with questions regarding me moving in with my friend Kona in Washington. I know it's off topic, but I wanted to mail in and let you know that I made the choice to continue forward with the move, and have been here for about a month and a half now. Already in my short time of being here, I've experienced so many things, all wonderful, I might add. So many things. Experience all the things.
He has so many wonders to show you.
Where we're going, we don't need eyes to see.
But you will need cocks.
I don't have a cock.
You're a chiquette. You have a cock. So, anyways, sorry.
Obviously, I added a few lines to the email there. Okay. I lost my place. Okay. I really wish I could tell you guys everything that's happened over this time, but I'll refrain, for quite a lengthy wall of text would emerge that would be 5 times longer than this, which is frightening because it's already pretty fucking long. But I will say that Kona's parents are real dorks, very entertaining and easy to get along with, as well as very aiding in getting me settled in. I was unable to transfer jobs, unfortunately, but I was able to get a new one within 3 weeks of living here. People that don't want to quit their job in fear of never getting one again in order to try and improve their station somewhere else, take note, it can be done. Also, I've also accomplished signing up for college classes and taking care of just about anything else important. His parents said they were proud of me and even pleasantly surprised to see me get a job so fast, as they were expecting to wait around February when hiring season would come around. Speaking of seasons, the holiday season was really nice, even though I didn't get to spend Christmas with my family at home. Despite me being happy to get out of my hometown, away from the crazy drama and whatnot, it was still my home and I was a little homesick. But Kona kept me company and was sure to keep my spirits bright. They had a nice dinner, included me as one of their own kids, and got me plenty of stuff I needed, mostly winter wear and little treats, as well as the gifts, including socks. As lame as that sounds, these are actually the best socks ever and keep my toes toasty since it's a bit colder up here. The best gift by far was from Kona, who gave up the ass. No.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't added that. Which was the Click or Treat Woot shirt.
I got that one. It is so cute.
Okay, haven't seen that. Show me sometime. Nothing too epic and party-like happening on New Year's Day. I just spent it like any other day, really. I made the resolution to make this the year, the start of my new life, and have it be the best I can make it. Also, to go through a whole chapstick without throwing it in the dryer or losing it.
I have done the chapstick in the dryer, and you end up, like, laminating your pants.
God. As for Kona, he is quite interesting. I really like his mane.
Oh.
But most definitely in the best of ways. He's nice. It's completely different in person than on, say, Skype, but it's definitely a lot better. He's proven so far to not be a mental derphead. That's a good thing. And we've actually been able to spend plenty of time together doing things we both enjoy. One of those things in which we enjoyed recently did include me tripping over the couch and falling on his dick, like you so professionally phrased when I first mailed in. I won't go into details of that either, but I will say it was a lot of fun, and afterwards I started laughing a little. When Kona asked me why I was doing so while we were laying on his bed together, I reminded him about you guys saying this was going to happen, and he joined me in the laughter. Things really are progressing well with him. I can see the potential for something great. And if something unforeseen does occur that were to halt progress between us, I know for sure it won't stop me in my plans for success. And I'm confident it won't end our awesome relationship with one another, even if that means just settling down and staying friends. Also, as it turns out, when I moved up here, that was coincidentally on his mother's birthday. When I learned of that, I of course went to the store, got her a nice little gift. She said I didn't have to, and I replied that her mail-order teenager comes with a free gift. Thank you guys so much for reading again for my last two emails on the air as well as Kona's. It made us feel really special, and we'll always be big fans of yours. Maybe one of these days we can come to Furry Fiesta for my first con and get to see you guys. Savard, you get the sexiest voice vote.
Yay.
Shiva, I forgot to give you a free cookie for reading my first email. Gives giant awesome L-shaped cookie of awesomeness. Fuzzwolf, you get... I'll think of something to give you in my next email. Don't feel bad. I'll make sure it's special, though. I promise. Promise. Happy nodding. Nightwolf, the Cahayan Blademaster.
You're nice.
That's a good email.
Well, I am good. It is good to hear that things are working out for you.
Yeah, I figured it'd be cool to read that one since it's an update from, like, it's been an ongoing story.
Yes.
And it's neat to see it working out. So.
Moving on. This one's another one of those. It came in on the 30th, but this is an example of not...
What not to do.
What not to do. Called Being Outed as a Furry in the Worst Way Imaginable. Hey, Notcast, newest listener here. Before you get into this email, I'd like to note that I'm bi male, age 18, and have in most likely always be closeted fur. I've kept my life and my fur life apart, and I've always wanted to keep it that way. Keyword wanted. It was a pretty relaxed night, Christmas Eve, in fact, when two worlds come crashing together. It reminds me of an episode of Seinfeld where George explained the two sides of him. Friend George and Relationship George. He feared the two personas he had made would someday meet and only one would come out victorious. This is the closest thing I can to describe it to you because that's what it feels like. I've had my furry side and my normal side, and they were never two present at the same time. Anyways, back on topic, I don't know what it said, but out of the blue in front of everyone, my friend randomly decided to blurt out, "Dustin's into furries!" Didn't even sound like it was supposed to be a comical thing, merely a very random statement. Needless to say, I stood there with the same expression a deer caught in the headlights might hold, and at that point there was no denying it. My two worlds had clashed, and now my furry side and my real life were in the same room, talking to people who now felt like strangers. You know that awkward pause when someone makes a terrible racist joke? Take that and multiply it by 10 or so, you might have the awkwardness the rest of the conversation. I left shortly without a word and spent the rest of my Christmas Eve scouring Google and making sure no one else could find my FA or anything similar. I still don't know how I found out, considering I never told anyone outside the fandom. I wish I could ask him, but at the moment I'm avoiding him at all costs. It's partly out of anger and embarrassment of being outed in public with all my friends around to hear, pretty much ruining my holidays, but also because I'm afraid of what I'll say or I'll do if I confront him about it so soon. I can see myself losing my temper and making things worse because I know he'll put on his indifferent, snobby look and ask why I'm making such a big deal out over it. Now the question of the email, do any of you have RL friends who know you're about your furry side, assuming you're closeted? No. How do you make them respect the fact that it's not something to blurt out and break the ice? And my final question, do you believe I should be angry or not? I understand he might not realize this is a big deal to me, but he's always been the kind of person to do whatever it takes for a small laugh, even if it's directed at a friend. On the other hand, he's been my friend for 8 years now, and considering I've been homeschooled almost all my life, friends don't come easy for me. Any advice is appreciated. Part of me wants to throw both middle fingers up and never talk to him again, but I can't help remember how we've been best friends throughout all our teen years. Anyways, thanks for reading. It's really appreciated. A very embarrassed Finnick. Karma.
Did anybody
catch the reason why this is so in the last paragraph? Why would he react like this?
The homeschool.
I'm so sorry, dude.
Your friend blurted out, Dustin is into furries. Does your parents have any clue what exactly furries are, or did he just say that Dustin's into barbel snaps, and they have no idea what a barbel snap is?
This is coming from somebody who actually had that kind of thing. When you are homeschooled, your parents are keeping track of all your shit, and having something secret is a big deal. This individual right here is in a shitty... to your later development, sorry to tell you. environment where he's had to hold this interest, it's really quite benign in, like, it's this, like, you're a baby eating Satanist.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this email initially and was like, what the fuck? This is terrible. That's not how you handle things. But then I saw the part at the end where it's like, I've been homeschooled. I'm like, ah, there we are.
You're understanding.
I understand now.
Because you were, weren't you?
Yeah, yes.
So you.
I got better. It took me a while, though. For you, Karma, I'm sorry this happened to you. And I can understand your frustration and anger. You feel as though that something is of a dire, dark, black secret to you has been thrown out into the public and paraded about. When the actual reality is your friends are kind of like, whatever, okay. Because that's usually the reaction a lot of people give, especially mm-hmm. if they're friends. They're like, I like video games. Okay. It's honestly not that big a deal. And I hope that by this point you've had a chance to talk to your friend and be like, yeah, I really don't appreciate that.
You're kind of a dick.
It's kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, taking long hiatuses. We get emails that sometimes hopefully things have worked out for the better. But in this particular case, it's like you overreacted and you treated it like it was a big thing. So your friends will think it's like this big, deep, dark secret. When, as we've said in the past, your best reaction is to go, yeah, I'm into a lot of things.
Yeah, it's like, so I like comic books too. Big whoop.
It's like I like comic books, video games, Ren Fairs, Star Trek, and, you know, that and the other. I like a lot of things. I bet you do too.
I am a little concerned that depending on the age group and the kind of people that he's hanging out with. Yeah, these
are high schoolers. They are kind of scum of the earth.
If a bunch of his friends are, yeah, the scum of the earth Channer types, then these might be the kind of people that he really doesn't want them to know.
Well, I don't think that, like, I don't think quite his friend could be, I don't think he's quite the Channer, but he does sound like a bit of an asshole.
I was going to say, he's got a good streak of asshole.
If he just randomly blurted it out like this, in just a random non sequitur thing, he sounds like he might be some kind of fucktard.
It's entirely possible that your friend's a fucktard.
One of those idiots that, you know, it's okay to have that idiot friend when you're a teenager, when you yourself are a fucktard and are still figuring shit out and everything.
Don't worry, all teenagers are fucktards. You get better, right. I promise.
It's when they don't do it and they grow up and they do it in your workplace that shit gets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once you get a little older, you need to kind of cut those people out of your life and make some real friends.
If they
don't
grow up.
Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, you're young, and hopefully these aren't, like, your churchy friends, as most homeschoolers end up having, because that's your environment. Mm-hmm. Church and homeschool.
I guess I don't even have enough to go on, basically, like, because he doesn't say what his friend's reaction was, or what the conversation was after this.
He said that it was an awkward conversation, but I think that might have been more to him. And then the fact that he left wordlessly only exacerbates the problem because he made such a big deal out of such a non sequitur.
Sometimes when people do like stuff like this, they're looking for a reaction. And if you give them one,
boy howdy.
Yeah, it's just basically you gotta, even if inside you're going, and you have to play it cool, as in like, meh.
Put on your cool face.
If you don't do the whole, oh my god, you know, and you just go, whatever.
Yeah.
It kind of diffuses their ability to do the gotchas.
I mean, this isn't
to
put you down, but like, and understand that I was homeschooled for a long period of time, and it took me a while to get to quote unquote normal. And I understand.
Oh, Saverin.
Oh, I know.
It's cute that you think.
It's
that.
Cute. For my normal.
I know. I'm just fucking
My normal is somewhere off in the ether compared
to
normal.
See, I'm being Saverin's asshole friend right now. But yeah. It's okay. I'm not really this mean to him when we're not on the podcast.
Nice.
But I understand how it is when you have a very limited pool of friends and something that you don't want to share. And I understand how that feels. But going forward in the future, it's probably best to just be like, play it cool, be like, yeah, I'm into a lot of things.
Because, a poker face, in other words.
Well, not even necessarily poker face. I mean, there's lots of, there is benign stuff within furry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, it's sometimes lost in the sea of cocks. But
we'll throw out something embarrassing, which may or may not be true about the other guy. Yeah, like, do you enjoy masturbating into mayonnaise jars? And then just, take a drink and walk away. Ignore my advice. Go on, Severin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's actually a valid tactic. Just kind of counter asshole him.
Yeah.
Yes.
To say something just as outrageous, like, your son's into dog fucking. Well, you like to.
Well, no. So many friends. No. On the moon.
Jesus.
Deflating. Skippy, what are you doing?
I wonder how many people are not getting this at all right now.
And the people that are getting it are going, why am I hearing it here? Anyways.
You just said, well, you sound like a bitch who doesn't know whether he likes bananas or not. And throw your drink in his face and walk away. And as you tear away in your Trans Am, you yell, on the moon!
And that's about that for that email, I think. So many friends.
Oh.
All right, one last round, guys. We got this.
Are you sure we got this?
Well, maybe. I saved, so.
Okay.
Okay. Are we ready to continue on now?
I'm just glancing around for one.
Well, there's five left, so.
Yeah, I know. Here's one. Subject is anonymous. Hey, Notcasters, I'm writing in to ask for a bit of advice. Back in June, I started going to fur meets, and even though I'm a bit shy and close to the chest, they gave me a warm welcome. After the meet was over, I exchanged numbers and contact info with a few members and went home. The next morning, I had a text on my phone that says, "Are you seeing anyone?" I wasn't quite sure how to handle this because I only knew him for a few hours. That, and I've never been in a real relationship, let alone a gay one. I told the truth and danced around telling him to back off a bit. As time passed, I got to know him better and was starting to actually become interested in him. About the same time, he had some trouble with his parents and drove down to the town where I lived to get away from his bad living situation. This also meant that he was living in his car in the middle of summer. When I found out about this, I offered him my house. He graciously accepted. Since he moved down so suddenly, he didn't have a job, and I didn't make him pay rent. For the next couple weeks, we got to know each other better and started to hit it off a bit. That was when he asked me if I wanted to have sex. I was a bit hesitant at first, but I accepted. It was my first time, so there were nerves. After another couple weeks later, he starts to feel bad about mooching off me and moves back to his hometown where he knows he has a job. Once he moved back, he was also going to join the military as dentist or something along the lines of that. Before he left, I tried to make the boyfriend thing official, but he used the military as an excuse because he might be stationed somewhere else. Ever since then, he's become distant and doesn't seem interested anymore. I still love him and would love for him to come back. I guess my question is, what do I do? I still love him, but he's becoming distant. Should I press him to see what he feels, or should I just give up? Was this just an elaborate one-night stand? Best regards, Anonymous. P.S. I know it was a bad excuse for poor grammar, but sorry if this email is sloppy. I can't stand typing on my phone. Edit as you see fit. It actually wasn't that bad. I mean, it was a little chewed up in places, but compared to some of the ones that we got, this is like...
Yeah.
An essay.
This is by almost better than some emails I've seen that were actually typed on a computer on a keyboard. So,
yeah.
Props for that.
It sounds like you guys are growing apart. It happens. I don't think it was an elaborate one-night stand. Do you?
I kind of do.
Well,
I mean...
Oh, God! Notcast disagrees! This shit is over! Break my iPad in half and walk out.
You'd be so sad. You couldn't watch ponies on it in the morning. You couldn't sit in bed and watch ponies.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Don't do that.
I'll tape it back together.
I mean, yeah, I think that, like, not to make it sound bad, but you were convenient. You seemed like a cool dude with a head on your shoulders and the place to crash if shit hit the fan when it did. And the fact that he's kind of like, I don't really want to be boyfriends and I'm going to go join the military. Well, I mean, it might be that he's not really looking for a relationship, and that if it was a one-night stand, well, that was... It served a purpose for him.
There's all degrees of relationships. You've got your boyfriends that last a couple days to, you know, varying degrees of depth. I mean...
Well, I mean, I would say you can definitely keep in touch, but I wouldn't try to, like, hinge all your hopes on him.
No.
I would, you know, maybe do one last push, and then see where it is, and then, no.
Let it sit from there.
And then be like, once you know, just be like, okay. So, as far as first times go, I've heard a lot worse, and I've heard a lot better. I wouldn't beat yourself up too much about this being your first time and it not becoming a relationship and a big thing. You know, it happened, you were willing, it doesn't sound like it was traumatic or anything like that. You know, nerves, that's normal. You know, I wouldn't dwell on it. The whole virginity thing is kind of an artificial construct anyway. And just kind of move forward from here.
Take what you could from it and leave what you didn't learn from it behind. You know, it's, you can only deal out the good and leave the bad behind.
I'm going to kind of agree with Shiva. I don't think it was orchestrated to be a one night stand.
Oh, well, I don't think that, I mean, I'm sure this guy is grateful for what you did for him, but I do think that in the, just by description, that this was...
You know, it sounded like this dude has a lot going on in his life. He moved back. He's joining the military. I don't think relationship is really high on his mental priority list right now. And I don't think he went into this with bad intentions. This is just a supposition on my part. But, you know, it's worked out this way. I wouldn't really see any malice or anything in it. And if you guys go your separate ways, you know, that kind of thing happens. I wouldn't try not to take it too hard. I mean, I know you might, because you're young, it was your first time, and this is kind of a breakup. But I think it'll be okay.
As breakups go, this is pretty mild, you know. It sounds like you guys are drifting apart, and yeah, that hurts. But compared to some of the ways things can fall out, the screaming fights and the long drawn out pain, this isn't all that bad.
Yeah, not to completely dismiss your situation, but you yourself don't sound too destroyed over it or anything. So I think you'll be okay.
Frustrated, yes. A little bit.
Yes.
Heart sore. But, yeah. Anywho, I'll shut up now.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but this kind of stuff happens.
Okay. Just, yeah.
You get your lumps and move on.
Yep. Although, you know, if you find a lump, definitely go and be screened. Yeah. Check that out. So my turn now, right?
Yep.
Living in Texas advice.
Oh, God. That's what a terrible place.
Oh, I remember this one.
Okay, you guys are frightening me. Dear Dopcast, thank you for reading my email, even though the only comment was, "Don't live in Houston, kids!" I am a 19-year-old bi hyena. Like I said previously, I live in Indiana with my parents, and I want to get the heck out of the cornfields to live on my own. I was a little surprised because I heard many good things about Houston. None of them from us.
Well, he has to realize we don't live in Houston. None of us have ever lived in Houston. So we don't have a lot of advice.
We don't have a lot
about
of perspective. We just hear the stories, and the air quality is terrible, so it's bad for me.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Taking a break from reading the email for a second. Much like Michigan, everyone I've ever talked to who lives or has lived in Houston talk shit about it. You know, they say it's not a cool place. They don't like living there. There are parts that are nice. I'm sure that there are.
I have no advice where that might be, though.
You know, I'm sure there are nice parts of Russia that are not Chernobyl, but I still wouldn't want to live there either.
Well, it's like Dallas. You know, there's nice parts of Dallas, and there's parts of Dallas you don't want
to
go to.
Yeah, right. If you wanted to live in Dallas, we could give him all kinds of advice about that.
All I'm saying that, in general, I have not heard good things about Houston. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, I'm completely basing that on a couple of dozen people that have happened to mention living there, visiting there, working there over the course of, you know, the last 7 years I've lived in Texas.
I know a couple of people are very happy down there, but...
Well, they're wrong.
No, but it's just... I don't have any advice for moving there.
Yeah. So, continuing on the email now, the segue. I felt that, let me just... That's just my opinion, man. You know, you may move to Houston and have a lovely time. It does have the third largest gay community in the country, at least as far as a survey I saw like 5 or 6 years ago. Even if that's changed a little bit, it still does have a lot of gays down there. And there's quite a few gays up here, too. But up by that, I mean Dallas.
go ahead.
Anyway, continuing on. Even if Houston is a no-go, I would still prefer Texas over other states because of the climate and economy. I was wondering if you would have any general advice on places to live.
Move to Dallas.
Where to look for tech-orientated jobs.
Move to Dallas.
And modes of transport in Texas.
Car.
Okay, caveat on that, but I'll continue on first.
I know.
Thanks for any and all advice. Also, sexiest voice goes to Fuzz. But much love to my fellow techie, the at-risk Youth Panther. Avid fan, Dr. Frankenstein, not Frankenstein.
Huh.
Well, a couple quick things. Living in Indiana, because that's where I lived before I moved to Texas. Uh-huh. Yes, I've lived all over the fucking country. I did 3 years in Indiana. If you want to get out of the cornfields, there's, of course, Indianapolis. It's a nice, big city. It's not as big as, like, Dallas or some of the others, but it's decent. Don't know how the economy's doing. If you're looking for someplace with a decent, and he didn't say a sexuality there, did he?
Bye.
Well, okay. If you're looking for a nice town with a good lesbian gay community, look at Bloomington, Indiana. It's one of IU University's hubs. I lived there for 3 years. It's a wonderful place to live. Lots and lots of lesbian gay groups and support. And there's like a couple of different gay bars, everything from dance clubs to just a nice drinking place. At least there was a couple of years ago. There's lots of street fairs. There's lots of stuff to do. People are usually pretty friendly. And you can find some decent living spaces. Don't know if you're interested in going to university. There's always IU. So that's an idea. If you want to get out of the cornfields but can't quite get all the way to Texas, look at Bloomington. It was great when I lived there. And other than that, move to Dallas. I don't have any opinion on it. I haven't lived anywhere else in Texas yet.
Even in Dallas, I have at least two friends that have jobs that they're able to get to using the public transportation system.
Yes, DART is available.
We don't have the best in the country.
But
honor more belongs to New York and Chicago have better systems.
Boston's not bad either.
But we're really not too bad. The DART rail system is expanding if you live on one of the suburbs in outer Dallas.
Yeah, you can actually get pretty damn far in Dallas on the DART rail.
As long as you got the time to spend on, going there.
If you can easily get to a train station, then the actual train ride is not bad. You just have to look at where you're working. TI is here, is one of the major techie industries in Dallas. And there are, I think, right around a DART rail or bus station. So, especially in, there's the techie parts in, like, Richardson, where UTD, the university is.
Playhouse One, along the Addison, along the Parkway, there's a whole bunch of tech firms.
And most all that area is served by the Dart Rail.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Texas has a lot of IT industry in it. So that is, you know, if that's what you're interested in, this is a good place to live that it does not have the ungodly expense of living in Silicon Valley.
But
and, well, like, one of the things, like, in Dallas, and in Dallas's rapid transit is pretty good because we do have a couple friends that rely on Dart to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's buses and trains. And, I mean, it's really affordable. A single ride is $1.75. So, hey, it's 50 cents cheaper than the New York subway mm-hmm. per trip. And then the day pass is only $4. $7 if you want to do buses and things. Buses and rail.
If you're really fortunate and have an awesome employer like I do, my company, in a bid to help the whole green movement and have more people either carpooling or taking public transport, they give me an annual Dart pass.
Wow, which annual?
Yes, which is like $500, which is good for the buses and the rail system.
And you can go anywhere with that guy.
Yeah. So yeah.
Does that also cover TRE? You can get out to Fort Worth?
There's the fair boundary line, which is, I think, at DFW station.
Yeah.
I can get out to there. So, because I've got a gold. If you have a platinum, that covers all of the TRE.
Yeah.
So, basically, I get, like, a little over half of the TRE.
One of these days, I'm just going to have to be like, I'm going to take the train from here to Fort Worth and, like, meet my family.
You know,
I want to try that.
So this is a segue here. For what I've seen, like, the TRE is like a real train. I think we talked about this a couple weeks back. I don't know if it was on the show or just personally. But it's like a real double-decker, like an Amtrak kind of thing. I kind of want to try it. Just ride back and forth one day. I quite enjoyed that train trip I took after Anthrocon a couple years back.
Well, I mean, riding the Dart Rail is actually pretty nice here.
Mm-hmm.
But I do that 5 days a week.
Well, so. I'm just saying that, like, in terms of rapid transit, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying move to Dallas, but move to Dallas. My hair is all crazy. No. Yeah.
What I would suggest, actually, is we have, there's TexasFirst.org. That lists a lot of the different community sites. But just to throw a couple of big ones out there, there's the mailing list, which has been going forever. It's run by a couple people down in Austin, but it's got people from all over the state in it, and that's Texas Area Furry Friends, or TAF. So just Google Texas Area Furry Friends, and you'll find it very easily. And there's also LoneStarFurs.org is a forum. You do have to register for that. It might take a little while to get approved. I would basically hit both of them. They're the most populated, most active community interaction sites for the state. If you get into Lone Star Furs, especially, what's nice there is that each major city or area in Texas has its own little sub forum. And I can't speak for Houston's area, but I know Dallas's area is fairly active, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people posting to it. So if that's true for Houston as well, then, you know, you would have people to talk to and maybe get an idea from the... Because obviously we're not experts on Houston. We can't tell you what the good part or the bad part of town to live in is, where you can afford to live in, things like that. So I think a good move would be to get on those forums in advance, get to know some people there, or even just post something, say, hey, I'm thinking of moving to Houston. You know, here are my questions. I need some advice. Because then that would be the real pros would be the people that live there now,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to tell you about it. So that's my buck and a half there, because I talked for ages. But
yeah, you covered it.
Okay. So, yeah. I read that one, so, right?
And here's one last one for me for this week.
Final email.
The final countdown.
No.
That's going to be in my head all night. Thank you, motherfuckers.
So many friends. Inspector Gadget. There, replace it with that. Oh, God, goodness
that's
me.
Totally in my head now.
I'll what get one? You next time, Gadget.
Next time. All right, so, hey, Knotcast. Hey there, I'm mostly a new reader, but spent a little time checking out a few podcasts, taking some advice. So now I come to you with quotes. It's bugging me for a while. Here's my question. I've been in a long-distance relationship for what I would say has been a year and a half now. The person's in Australia. I'm in southern U.S., deep southern, so I'd say why I'm having to look long distance. Now, I like this guy a lot. We spend pretty much every day talking to each other, at least saying hello. I've bought him stuff. He's bought me stuff. We've done everything two boyfriends can be expected to do, at least what we can online. I'm hoping to have my first visit to him this year so we can let things go further. But lately, there's been a couple things that have been bothering me. This guy doesn't really want to leave his home continent permanently due to his family being there. Understandable, since I feel the same way. He's looking at getting a job that'll let him travel enough, but I'm worried about having a relationship that's constantly between the oceans like that and how that would work out.
It sucks. Been there, done that. It sucks.
Our relationship is kind of weird. For one thing, the guy has two boyfriends, me and a guy that's actually in the same continent with him. I have no problem with this other guy, and I'm fairly friendly with him, even if I don't talk to him much. Problem is, I'm worried about issues of jealousy and sharing and such. That, and I feel kind of like I'm the only person alive who's in a relationship like this, and I'm a bad person for it. He's told me himself he doesn't want a close relationship, and he might want to see other people he knows. To be honest, I guess there's a few other friends of mine I'm sort of attracted to. But I'm a little worried that there's some folks won't see this kind of thing as a real relationship, along with the other possible issues of an open relationship. So basically, I'm worrying too much, or is it wrong? And is it wrong for me to be part of this? I don't really know whether to say anything or just keep things letting things go like they're going or what. I seriously want to let things work out somehow because I feel like I got very lucky finding this guy in the first place, and I'm worried I'd never do better if I ended up losing him. Sorry for another long letter. I'm afraid I can't really judge voices yet, but I'll keep on listening until I can decide. Anonymous.
Oh, you're totally not going to like my answer.
Yeah, mine too.
Which
is different than from a couple years ago. But
well, yeah. I'm going to let you guys go because I'm going to probably agree with one of y'all.
So my opinion on this is that unlike your former situation, Shiva, you guys were actually actively working to
consolidate
for one of you to make a move across the ocean to be with the other one.
Permanently.
This situation, we're dealing with two people where neither of them want to make a permanent move off their home continent, which is perfectly understandable, but that means that you're never going to be together permanently. I'm really kind of... This guy has another boyfriend in an open relationship. I really just feel like you're a fling to him, that you're a bit on the side, someone he's going to have some fun with.
I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I have known several people who have their mate, and then a couple of times a year, they go off to a con, they go on a trip, they have like a weekend warrior fling with someone once or twice a year, and then they come back to their mates. And yes, when they're with that person, it's wonderful, but it's not permanent, and it's never going to be permanent. So they enjoy each other while they can, and then go back to their lives. I'm sorry.
So I do that. Like, there are a couple people that I play around with at a con. They're a long distance friend, but I don't consider myself in a relationship with them, in a long distance mateship with them. It's just friends that I enjoy my open relationship status with. I think
that's kind of what it's like.
I'm afraid he's kind of fooling himself by, okay, and I know I'm completely falling into the trap of people not considering this a, quote, real relationship, but based on the email, I don't really consider this a real relationship. I'm sorry.
Well,
let me just finish based on this, on the last paragraph here, was that he wrote, he feels that he got very, very lucky finding this guy in the first place, and he's worried that he'd never do better if he ended up losing him. You're young. You'll find somebody else. You guys are never going to be together. This isn't a relationship that has a future. You would do much better off finding somebody local to you. At the very least, somebody on the continent of Australia that you could theoretically visit more than
the occasional blue moon.
So I'm going to get that maybe the writer is a guy. So I've got a little bit of rain for his parade.
Well, he said he is, so.
Okay.
Did he?
Okay. He's a dude.
Okay, so a couple, there's some rain on your parade, and I'm sorry about this.
I mixed that up, sorry. He's in the U.S., the other guy is in Australia.
So. The U.S. right now does not recognize same-sex relationships and lets you import them. The only way he could get into the U.S. permanently would be through some kind of job sponsorship or winning the immigration lottery, which is an incredibly thin chance. So unless he's got a talented, needed career, with how limited how poor the economy in the U.S. is, going to be harder than normal to get because there's tons of talented people out there to hire. Mm. Him getting into the U.S. is going to be a slim chance. Now, Australia does recognize same-sex domestic partnerships. So, theoretically, you could go there. And I know this because you're a new listener, but I was married to an Australian, and I had 9 years of playing the immigration game going back and forth, so I got to be very familiar with this. I've done the long-distance relationship. Basically, if you're not willing to move here or move there, and he's not really able or willing to come here, you're basically looking at whatever your job offers for time off during the year. You're looking at seeing someone once, maybe twice a year. Each of those plane tickets, depending on the time of year, is going to run you between, on average, about $1,400, depending on where in the U.S. you fly from and what specials you get. That's round trip. So you're going to have to come up with $1,400 between the pair of you, assuming he'll help out, once or twice a year. That gets really fucking expensive. Never mind anything else you spend over there, like food and transportation and fun money and whatever else. And $1,400, and it's also, like, from Dallas to Sydney, it is an almost 24-hour trip between the layover in L.A. and the time you spend in the air. So, again, does he say where he is in the U.S.?
Southern. He says southern, so I'm going to guess probably in the southeast.
So you're going to lose a day going there and coming back. So if you've got 7 days off, you're going to actually spend 5 on the ground. And usually when you hit there, you're going to be out of it pretty wonky for like the first day. It depends on how much you bounce back and how much jet lag fucks with you. So between losing a day trip each way, $1,400 to spend one, if you're lucky, 2 weeks there, doing it once a year, maybe twice. Unless you have really good finances, I really can't see you doing more than that. Forever, that's going to get really painful really fast. And that's without having any kind of long-term plan to stop doing this incredibly painful relationship. That's the only thing that got me through it for as long as I was going back and forth over the ocean. We worked it out so that I went and lived over there for 3 years with him, came back, and then he moved over here with us. And, yeah, it is a long, hard road, even when you have a goal in sight of, hey, I don't have to put up with this bullshit forever. I'm not going to have to keep my life and see my guy once a year, you know. So, yeah, keep in mind what exactly you're setting yourself up for. This is a very long and difficult thing for you to handle forever. Just keep that in mind.
Any final thoughts, Saverin? We both kind of...
You kind of agreed with each other, and I'm just going to be like, yeah, it sounds like it's a fucking mess you probably shouldn't pursue too hard.
Every time I heard the such and such, I'm in the U.S. and Australia, it's like facepalm. I know, nope. Oh God. It was fun, and it was great living down there, but the long term of just doing that forever is just wow.
Yeah.
I could not do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess. Don't do it. So, yeah, that's sort of a downer ending to this week's episode. But sometimes the truth is not very nice. And international relationships, gay male international relationships.
Hard.
Fucking impossible at this point in time.
At least for him to bring a partner here in the U.S.
Yeah.
At least
based. Well, it's kind of the same with Australia. They're slightly crazier than us, so.
Well, they do recognize domestic partnerships, so.
And they have crazy-ass natives. Which, well, the Australians did kind of fuck them over, but.
Actually, Australia was an awesome place to live. I mean, I really enjoyed living there.
Yeah. So, anyways, next week will be the first week of February. Do we have any adventures planned for that weekend?
No, it's the weekend after that I'm doing my local sci-fi con.
Oh, right.
I just thought there was something next weekend. I can't remember what.
I'm sure it'll come to me. I don't know. Well, we will post a topic for next week on our Fur Affinity account here very soon.
It's It'd be funny if we have this conversation in like 3 weeks. There's something going on. Oh, God, Furry Fiesta, I forgot.
Shit, I'm supposed to be at the hotel right now.
Sounds of microphones falling over.
This next little bit's going to be interesting because I'm going to be out of town the second week of... Mm-hmm. I'm going to be out in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And for a weekend for an event over there. And then I'll be back in town the next week after that for Furry Fiesta.
So the week before Furry Fiesta, you're in San Fran?
Yes. Well, the weekend.
When do you fly out?
Friday.
Oh, right.
Okay.
So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Well, we could do the show on Thursday if you want to do a show.
Yeah, week. I mean, absolutely. I'm just saying it's like, okay. This is going to be crazy. So if I go to the con you're vending at that weekend...
Con.
Well, I'm planning to do the same thing. Because even if I don't, there's another con I want to go to that is between Sci-Fi Expo and Furry Fiesta. That's, I think it's FenCon. It's either FenCon or Con DFW.
I think it's Con DFW.
Con DFW. It's a literary themed sci-fi con. And I'm not going to deal there. I just want to go to like a bunch of the panels on writing and publishing and stuff like that, which I think will be interesting. So yeah, I'll be basically going to cons 3 weeks in a row, but I'm not going to stress myself to the max by trying to deal at that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I suggested that it was possible and Tieran had a look like he would kill me if I tried. So.
I've seen those looks. You do not just don't. Yep. Stop.
No, we're not going to do that.
On that note, good night.
And big.